If you prefer manual, time-consuming processes, then this message isn't for you. But if you want to slash per loan cost and boost productivity, then exploring Indicom's Genius Suite is your next step. Integrate Genius into your operations or pair Genius with Indicom's expert mortgage services for proven ROI. Learn how to get Genius at work by visiting Indicom.com.
Hi, Housing News listeners. This is Alcina Lloyd, and I'm the producer of this weekly podcast, which is a proud member of the Industry Syndicate. Today, you'll be listening to episode 11 of season 4 of the Housing News podcast. In today's bonus episode, which features a Housing Wire daily interview with TIAA Bank's John Pataki, the executive vice president discusses the nation's lack of housing inventory and how it's impacting homebuyer demand and home prices. But before you listen, here's a brief word from our sponsor.
Now more than ever, homeowners and borrowers of the future need to understand impacts and options during times of financial hardship. Freddie Mac has made home possible for 50 years and is committed to providing assistance and clarity to the housing market. Through All for Home SM efforts, Freddie Mac Single Family is leading the future of housing through insights, education, mortgage, and business solutions. Learn more about resources to help you and the clients you serve at sf.freddiemac.com/affordable lending.
Thank you for listening, and here's the 11th episode of season 4 of the Housing News Podcast. Hello, Housing Wire listeners. Today I'm joined with John Pataki, the Executive Vice President at TIAA Bank. Thanks for joining us on Housing Wire Daily, John.
Well, thank you for having me.
Awesome. Okay, so listeners, today John will be speaking to us about the nation's lack of housing inventory and how it's impacting homebuyer demand and home prices. John, mortgage rates have obviously been a hot topic this year as they've stayed below 3% for many consecutive weeks, boosting housing demand and acting as a counterweight for the U.S. economy, which is struggling amid the worst public health crisis in more than a century. In your own words, how did mortgage rates impact the 2020 home buying landscape?
Well, I think that's one of those classic $64,000 questions, and certainly we are at all-time lows. For those of us who have been in the industry a long time, you know, we've gone through many peaks and valleys of rate environments, but this is a unique one. And some of the low rates are directly and indirectly tied to, you know, as you described, you know, the worst public health crisis, and it was the Fed's reaction to try to stimulate support for the economy and the markets by continuing to lower the kind of the benchmark rates down to, you know, zero in essence for Fed funds, overnight money, and short-term borrowings that banks participate in. But clearly, I think the good thing that lower rates did on the home buying landscape was to allow at least some fuel for the engine. I shudder to think, had rates not continued to drift lower, you know, we might be in a very different situation. And while there has been some, you know, in the early days of the pandemic, there was certainly some reluctance of people to actually participate in the home buying process, both the consumer who's out there looking, as well as the supply chain. So appraisers, realtors, and that everybody was kind of feeling their way. And in the initial months, I mean, there was definitely a pullback, but I think we've seen that step up considerably over, you know, throughout the summer and into the fall. You know, I think we're at a kind of an unusual inflection point right now with these rising stats coming out every day, increased positive rates, increased hospitalization rates. And traditionally, the Christmas holiday season isn't one of the most robust times of the year for natural home buying. You know, it's still stayed fairly good. And I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about inventory as well, which is a factor. But clearly, you know, those who have been on the sidelines for a while, these low rates are a great stimulus for them to finally make that commitment and participate in the buying process.
See, yeah, you're definitely right about rates influencing home buyer demand. And as we talk about mortgage rates, we definitely have to focus on this. As we both know, historically low rates have persuaded thousands of Americans to either purchase new homes or refinance. But like you said, as demand expands, what does that mean for housing inventory?
I think it's going to continue to put pressure on it. I think we've seen the existing inventory at fairly low levels. Houses are turning quickly, and we're in some markets, and I always like to preface, not all markets throughout the U.S. are created equal in terms of inventory, in terms of cycle time to sell a house. I think times vary widely, but in those in those stronger markets, we're seeing people paying at asking price or above to make sure that if they find a house they really want, that what's within their budget. They want to make sure they don't lose it. And I think that, existing homes, we're hitting a tight spot there in terms of the absolute availability. And we haven't, while we've seen improvements and increases in new home construction, it's still being somewhat muted by, I think, the lagging concerns about, are we going to see a relapse from a COVID perspective? Are we going to see any recessionary pressures that kick in? And so I think the home builders community, many of whom felt a lot of pain during the financial crisis 2008-2009, are taking a very guided and measured approach to how far should they go with building, particularly from a speculative perspective.
All right. See, that's interesting. And so as we talk about this, let's discuss some findings in the latest Housing Starts report. The report, which was issued last month by the U.S. Census Bureau and the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, indicates housing starts increased 2.8% year over year in October, highlighting growth in the home building market. In commentary you sent to our newsroom, you said this feverish demand signals consumers are making home buying a priority. However, you did say, with the unresolved problem of dried up housing supply, prices will continue to rise, causing the market to hit a price level that consumers will eventually find too high. My question for you is this pace of growth enough to match demand while keeping home prices affordable for the average home buyer?
Wow. Well, let's try to unpack that question, because yeah. that's a big one. And again, if the first one was the $64,000, this might be the $128,000 one, because there's real significant factors here in play. First, the housing supply, as I kind of alluded to in the prior comment, it's not dried up, but it's certainly slowly but surely evaporating. And we are seeing markets where prices have not only increased, but they're pre 2008, 2007 levels in many, many markets. And we are seeing some inflection to home price affordability, home price indexes, relative to household income. That is starting to stress markets. And we are, even at record low rates, sheer cost, using a comparison to auto purchasing, people get excited about 0% interest rate on a car. Well, that's great if the car was $30,000, but if now that same car is now $60,000, does it really fit my budget or not? Whether it's 0% interest or 5%, it may be a rounding error. The fact is I can't afford the actual purchase. And so I think in some markets we are seeing that it is, it's going to start pushing out consumers at a certain point. I mean, some of the stats that we're looking at and some of the forward forecasts, we are seeing that on a national basis that in 2021, that we should see it's going to continue to uptick, but not at the same pace as 2020 has been in terms of price increases to homes. It will start to temper down. It's been fueled dramatically by low rates, but I think it's starting that course is starting to run out. And again, it's market to market. It will vary. But I think if we look at it on a complete national basis as an aggregate, we will start to see a pricing out for the consumer in the market, or they'll have to recalibrate to, do I need to look at a different housing option? You know, I can still, particularly for first-time home buyers, I might have to look at it a different way than maybe I was originally. But for some, it will, it may move or keep them on the sidelines per se.
Right. I definitely see how affordability can be an issue right now, especially during the COVID pandemic. I want to switch gears and discuss housing philosophies. HousingWire's columnist Logan Modishami insists there is no housing inventory shortage, but instead an abundance of Americans aging in place. This implies a significant amount of housing inventory is likely to be back on the market in the future, thus providing more supply to the nation. What do you think about this philosophy?
I think there's some truth to that. I think that people are taking a wait and see as it relates to housing decisions. And I think it's people across the whole spectrum. There are, you know, the using his comment, the aging in place factor, as we do have an aging population, and, you know, the quantity of baby boomers that are homeowners is certainly a very, very high percentage of home ownership. And we're seeing a delay in the timing of home purchases as represented by the millennials, compared to their prior cohort type groups who, whether it's the Gen Xers or the baby boomers, when they would have entered the housing market. And so, you know, there's two factors, and I think the shortage, the pricing is driving some of that activity. But again, the, you know, home sales forecasts for 21 are lower than the 2020 numbers. And I think it's driven by a variety of assumptions, the continued lag of COVID, concerns about if there's not another round of stimulus, that could again temper markets carrying into 21 that could last much of 21. You know, overall forecasts in terms of mortgage activity is still very high. It's not as high as 2020 has been, but the, you know, the home purchase activity is looked to be on par for 2021 as it was in 2020. Saying all those 20s is a mouthful.
Yeah.
And so I think this is one of those watch items. We're going to have to keep tabs as to what is causing the shortage. You know, I think there is a factor for existing inventories that could be fueled some, and I think it's a conservative stance that many are taking. But I also think it's coupled with new housing starts. While they have picked back up, they're not necessarily in line with what you would expect in such a low interest rate environment. So you add both of those factors together, And it spells that shortage issues will continue to be a factor.
And John, you're right. COVID has really made the market unpredictable. So we'll have to be watching how it behaves in 2021. As we wrap, I'd like to ask, is there anything you or your company personally believe the housing industry should keep in mind, whether it comes to mortgage rates, supply, demand, or even affordability?
Well, I think there's a couple things that we need to be mindful of, and that is, you know, always use the past for knowledge and a compass to push forward towards the future. And as I mentioned in my earlier comments, I think, you know, the home building community is using some of that past knowledge as a driver so that they don't create an oversupply of housing and create I'll call it a reverse bubble where there's too much inventory, and then that's going to adversely affect demand, and it creates this domino effect in the economy. I think we all need to keep our eyes focused on where we are going. You know, we've mentioned COVID a number of times in this dialogue, and that's going to continue to be a huge pacing factor. Mortgage rates. Our view is, and I think my colleagues in the industry's view is, mortgage rates are going to stay low for the foreseeable future. And what do I mean by foreseeable future? You know, well out beyond 22 and maybe into 23 before we start to see the Fed taking any action that would drive any rising rate momentum. And there are some economists that believe we're flat into 2025. But I think, keeping the horizon a little shorter, rates are going to continue to be low. And I think one of the other watch items that we also need to keep in mind is the affordability quotient. And as I mentioned, certain markets are starting to get priced a little rich. And if you look at the average household income in those markets, it's starting to stress that. And so I think it's the combination of all these factors need to be looked at in concert to make sure we're guiding and driving a positive, healthy housing industry, but without creating events that would drive bubbles or temporary or intermediate term blowups in the market.
That's true. I know that's something that a lot of people that we're talking to have been watching as the market, as we talked about numerous times, is completely unpredictable right now. John, I'd like to say thank you so much for joining us today. You provided us with some really insightful information.
Well, again, thank you for having me, and we look forward to future conversations like this.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Housing News Podcast. Please don't forget to give us feedback and rate us on iTunes. Also, make sure to check out HousingWire's latest podcast, The Daily Download, which is a daily wrap of HousingWire's hottest stories, now available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcast, and more. We'll see you next week.